So why don't you come with me to the third chapter of the book of Exodus? I want to talk to you tonight about something that's been very much being revealed to me when it comes to how I present myself before the Lord. How do I come when God's drawing me to him? Where's my mind? Where's my thought? And so I'm going to use this example that we have in the scripture with Moses. And it's a good one. It's a very good example. And I want you to, and I'm going to say this. Every time we come to gather together in this room or in my home or in someone else's home or with one of the other elders online, however we come together, this is not about this physical world. This is about the kingdom of heaven. This is about being translated out of the mind of the flesh and into the mind of Christ every time. Without, there's no time that God's talking to you where he doesn't want to lift you higher and bring you up into his thought. Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And so he doesn't want to leave us in a place where all we hear is ourselves. Because how many of us know that we can quote scripture? Quoting scripture or knowing scripture even is not the answer that saves you. It's when the scripture, by the Holy Ghost, by the anointing of God, begins to grab hold of your heart and begins to lift you higher and take you into the consciousness of the Father, where you see him high and lifted up. And he allows you to see his holiness or his greatness. And it stands before you. I was thinking about this. I was on the com in a conversation with Dan today, this morning. And to think how much God loves us, even though we are encumbered and trapped in a world of sin. And we left. We had a conversation with the Father. And we chose to leave it and take on a life of our own, which really isn't life, it is death. Because we thought, this is the thought that we took, that we could do it better than God could do it for us. That's the thought that we took. I know better. Man, I grew up. I grew up in that thought. I remember thinking that towards my parents. I know better than my mom and dad. I'm going to do it my way. And oh God, I do not want to relive my childhood. Let me say it that way. In fact, there's a lot of things in this life I have no desire to live them over again. What I want to do is I want to continue my life in Jesus Christ. Because what God has in store for us as we come into the revelation of Jesus Christ, knowing ourselves as he knows us, as we come into that glory, we will see a completely different person than we see in ourselves today. You will not see yourself the same anymore, even to the point where, as you come into those deep things of God, where you live in the consciousness of God, you will know that you are now in the second coming of Jesus Christ and that it is you. How about that?
Awesome.
That's a big mouthful. And I can go to Hebrews, the ninth chapter and the 28th verse, and we can preach that all day long. So I want you to listen to the word of God as God draws Moses. He's drawing Moses to himself because God has purpose for everyone who will hear the word of the Lord. If you're on this in this meeting tonight, whether you're online or here in this room, God is calling you or drawing you nigh unto himself because he has purpose for you. I'll never forget that experience I had at 26 years of age, hearing 2 Timothy 1:9. And the moment I began to hear it, I left this world. I left. In my consciousness, I entered into the kingdom of heaven. I was not here. And in that experience, God told me I was saved and called according to his purpose and grace, not according to mine. Essentially, my life was over. It was done. Now, working through that, because when you're ignorant and you don't know the Word of God and you don't know the leading of the Holy Ghost, what's the first thing you're going to do in your mind? You remember, do you've had the all you've all had the experience. What's the first thing you do for yourself? You work at yourself in the flesh. And God says, that's not it. So you try again, and God says,
Still not.
that's not it. So then you try again, and God says, that's not it. And he may say that so many times, you get to the point where you're just exasperated. You say, well, then I give up. Then I don't know what to do. Okay, that's it. I was waiting for you to give up. And that's what we need to do, folks. We need to yield ourselves unto God. That is the most important thing that we can do, is yield ourselves unto God. Completely, not superficially, not just thinking I'm yielding myself to God. No, that's not it. It is deliberately and diligently yielding yourself unto God. So let's look at this man, Moses. Moses kept the flock, chapter 3, verse 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, this is how God is going to approach or to draw you unto himself. And the angel of the Lord appeared. This is why we have to be willing to yield ourselves unto God. Moses saw the angel of the Lord, and he was on fire. He was a burning one from heaven. Now we could to talk about the burning ones, that's a whole nother level of teaching, but that's what Moses saw. He saw a burning one from heaven. And when he saw it in a bush, and the bush was not being consumed, right? We see that in the story. And so, in order to understand what he's seeing, it says that Moses turned aside. He yielded himself completely to what God was showing him, to what God was making manifest before him. He turned aside and he drew nigh unto the burning bush. He turned aside. Now, what does that mean?
Gave his
We
full attention.
okay, but we also know it that when Moses turned to be drawn to God, he turned away from what?
His own thoughts.
He what?
His own
His
thoughts.
own thought, his own tasks, everything that he knew he had to do for those sheep, he turned away from it and drew nigh unto the Father. This is what God is doing for each and every one of us right now, in this hour. And so the willingness and the consciousness of each and every one of us, as God brings us or draws us nigh unto himself, if that willingness isn't there, well, we know that the scripture says that In order for you to be rewarded of God, you must do what?
Diligently seek him.
How about believe that he is?
Oh.
Right? We must believe that God is. God is what? What is he? Is he not the only true, wise God who has complete authority over heaven and earth, and that there is nothing that can take his place? He is it. And so, in the consciousness of each one of us, as we're receiving the word of God, shouldn't we allow that word that comes to us from heaven? Should the reverence that we have for God be in our minds for every word that he speaks to turn their heart to Jesus Christ? We get out of the place, we leave that place of thought where we because we get stuck in this place of spiritual fiction. I've used that term before, but it's so true, folks. We are sons of God. We have been called into it by the Father himself, put into prophecy. And in prophecy, in becoming sons, he's teaching us the authority that we have in heaven and earth. He's granting it to us. And the first step is to believe that he is. Now, listen to this. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked. And behold, Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed because the bush wasn't on fire. Who was on fire?
The angel.
The angel. It was a burning one from heaven. Had nothing to do with the bush. But it had everything to do with the consciousness of God presenting itself. Presenting himself to Moses. Can you imagine that when we gather together, we have in our mind that as God speaks, a flame of fire is going to appear from heaven, and I will know that I'm in the presence of the Lord. That should be our expectation. That's our God. And when I was conversing with Dan this morning, it was like I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about these things, and I got overwhelmed with the thought that here I am, born into sin, born into the likeness of death. That's who I am in the flesh. And before God, I am ugly. I'm a mess. I have denied the very Lord that created me. And I allowed myself, chose to go into sin and death. And yet, here comes this one true God who loves greater than any experience your imagination can think of when it comes to being gripped with the power of a love that is undeniable. And when he comes to you and presents himself to you, you know how much he loves you because he's beginning to make himself known to you. You who are sin and death, who denied him, he's now drawing you unto himself so that he can show you how much he loves you and why he gave his son Jesus to die for you. I was sitting at that, and I just got overwhelmed with thankfulness that the Father does not give up on his word. His word will not return to him void, and you are a word of God. That's who you are. You are not this creature of flesh that we see each other in every day in this world. That's not who you are. God has said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you are a word from heaven, and that he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And before you were in your mother's womb, he called you. We can go to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and we can read it. He called you. Now, Jeremiah, he called to be a prophet unto the nations. And some of you, he has called to be a prophet unto the nations. Some of us, he has called to be pastors and teachers. Some of us, he has called to be great things. And he uses the word some because it's all inclusive of every member of the body. Jesus can work in every member of the body in every way. It's not exclusive to one gift or another. He is all of it. It's his power, it's his grace, and it's his love being made manifest to each and every one of us. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Folks, this is the reality of experience, of the experience that God has blessed you and I with today. That when the word of God comes and we begin to hear it, he is drawing us out of ourselves, out of the flesh, to stand before him as a son of God. That's what he's doing. Let me go ahead. I get ahead of myself sometimes. And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God, now listen to this. God's making himself known. God called to Moses out of the midst of the bush and said, called him by name. Think God knows your name? I know he does. And Moses said, here I am, or him, here am I. And God said, draw not nigh hither, put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. See, this, to me, this is mind shaking. Because we don't put ourselves in a place of reverence, that when God begins to call us out to himself, to impart unto us the power of his word, we can't receive it because we still have our shoes on our feet. We still have some place in our mind that we think we need to be, other than standing before the Lord.
God's saying the same thing that you tell us when we walk through the dorm. Leave
it out there. Come into here, ready to hear.
Take your shoes off. Turn your cell phones off.
Like right on.
Like Rick would say.
We're in a time to hear God. And last night in the ministry meeting, that was a good class, huh, Connie? I can almost get overwhelmed tonight and start crying. God is just that wonderful. Because what he does, you know, that word comes from the Father into the Son, from the Son to the angel, and from the angel into the earth. Just so that you have an opportunity to stand before the living God. Now, if that's not grace, if that's not love, we don't understand. Because I was a sinner. I chose not to hear the Father anymore. I chose to live my own way of life. And yet, in the mind of the Father, what he had ordained for us is greater. So much greater that he does not want us to get lost in this life. And it's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to do. Let me go on. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for this place whereon you stand is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am. Now, listen. He's saying something profound. He's saying something anointed to his servant Moses. You remember in Revelation chapter 1, God is speaking to his son Jesus. And what does he tell his son Jesus? He tells him who he is. Says, Jesus, I'm going to give you the revelation of Jesus so that you can give it to the angel. And your angel can give it to the servant, your servant John. Same thing. Think about that. That's the opportunity that God has opened the door for you and I to hear in this day of salvation. And he's not faking it. And God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Why was he afraid? Why would Moses be afraid to look upon God? How did Moses perceive himself?
Unworthy.
As a man of sin. Where was Moses being raised up at?
In Egypt. House of Pharaoh.
House of Pharaoh. Who's Pharaoh? Who does the Bible say Pharaoh is? He's the devil. So Moses was being raised up in Egypt, in the house of Pharaoh, who is a type and shadow of Satan. And it was all purposed of who? It was all purposed of God. Go read the story, how Moses got there, right? We all know that's a story we heard as children. Here's the thing, though. We never understood it. We never knew that God had presented a parable, a mystery that needs to be unfolded in the heart so that we begin to understand that as sons, we are being called as a servant of God to stand before the throne of God, to hear his name, to hear his word, and to know that he is God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. So what's Egypt? What is it defined as? It's the world. That's how it's defined. Egypt is the world. So in the world, am I under great affliction of a Pharaoh? All that is in the world is what?
Lust of the flesh.
Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's all that's in the world. And who fathers it? Satan. And he's a father of lies. And God has seen the affliction of my soul in the world. That's what God has seen. And he's heard my groaning. He's heard my cry. Lord, deliver me from this hour. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a land flowing with the word of God, the anointed word of God. Unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come to unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Now, I know how greatly the world oppresses our mind. And we all know it. And we fight every day to get out of the oppression that the world puts upon us. Every day. That's why we get tired. That's why we get to where we need much sleep. Because we know the oppression that is in the world. Come now, therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Man. So what did God just tell Moses?
Get my sons.
I'm going to send you into the world to get my children. That's your call. That's your call. Well, that's good for Moses, but I don't think I'm the guy. No. No, 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 no. Where's the world at? Ecclesiastes 11. He has hid the world in the heart so that everything that we're saying and reading tonight becomes applicable in the Word of God, in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because where did he send Jesus? He sent Jesus into the world to do what?
Not to condemn the world, but to save it.
To save the world. And to free them from their sin. Do you think sin's a pretty good taskmaster?
Yeah.
Does it keep you busy doing things to help to it keeps you so busy doing things in the world that you can't do the things of God? How many have complained about that? I've got so much to do in this world that I can't do the things of God. Folks,
it's a lie.
Do not talk to yourselves that way. Say that louder, Ellen.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. It is a lie. You know why we say those things? Because we prefer what we do to what God has called us to do. And Moses said unto God, so here comes Moses. Now listen to what he says. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Certainly I will be with, and God said, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a token to you, what I have, that I have sent you. When you bring forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve me upon this mountain. Wow. In other words, when you bring them out, we're going to go into a higher level of thought. We're going to raise the consciousness. And you will know that I am God. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come into the children of Israel, and I say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now, I don't know about any of you, but I know for myself, I always question the name of God. Anybody else do that? Is his name God or what is it?
Yeah.
I was baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but they never said the name. Because those are all titles, right?
Yeah.
Well, then they introduced me to his name. What's his name?
I am.
Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
Uh-huh.
When the angels came announcing the birthing of the Lord, right? When Gabriel came to Mary, did Gabriel tell Mary what the name of the child would be? And that his name would be called what?
Jesus.
Emmanuel, God with us. His name shall be called Jesus. There's so many things that God is making real to us. And we certainly don't want to get lost in the story itself, right? And that's why God is saying, listen, let's get the shoes off the feet. Let's come into the holy place. Let's stand, but come, I'm bidding you, come. Stand before my presence. Stand before my throne. I'm going to tell you what I have purposed you to do with your life. I'm going to send you into the world to get my children and bring them back. There's a couple people online here tonight. One I know for sure. That I have told directly that we are purposed in God and we are going to get them. We're going to get them all. God's not going to allow us to fail. We're going to get them all. And it's amazing how God will always speak to you about that purpose. That becomes the challenge of your progression in Jesus Christ, because he's going to get them all. He's not going to let you fail. He came to bring you into eternal life. And in that life that is eternal, you are already purposed to do the will of God, and he's not going to let you fail. Ellen came to our home yesterday morning. Wasn't it yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Because she frets about her children and her grandchildren, right, Ellen?
Correct.
Not anymore, right? Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay. Because what you're hearing tonight should take away all the fret that we have in our mind about our children not making it. That thought of them not making it, where does it come from?
Comes from the devil.
Comes from the devil. It's wicked. So when Brian was teaching us on Monday night the difference between good and evil, if I understand good, if I understand evil, and my wisdom and my understanding comes from heaven, how can I fail? Well, I can. What is it that can cause me to fail? What causes our He merchandised and trafficked the word of God to make himself rich. Folks, you could fall into the same trap. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you will listen to the word of God, if you will follow the words of your elders, you will not fail. We have many amongst us, even here in Boise, that quit listening because they thought they had it. I don't need to say their names because they're not here anymore. They left. Who divided them off? Me or the Word of God? The Word of God did. I had nothing to do with it. Back when some of them left, I wasn't even the pastor yet. So they still want to blame me for it. That's the role of being a pastor, is you get all the blame. It's just the way it is. And you have to bear it. And sometimes bearing it is not very easy, just so you know. Okay, now listen to this. We're almost done. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So who did God say he was?
Yeah, I am.
I am. And a lot of times when we hear that, well, what does he mean? I am. Well, who else is there? Moses asked the question, who am I supposed to tell them sent me? I am. So when Moses told them, did God say that he would be with Moses? Did Jesus say that he would be in you? Am I missing something? So Moses could go in the confidence of faith and say, well, who are you? Who sent you unto us? I am. Okay, then give us a sign. Is that the heart of the children of Egypt, or Israel? They always had to have a sign. Rather than believe by faith, they had to have a sign. You know, needing a sign is unbelief, right? Because if you walk by faith, you don't need a sign, because you're believing that he is. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now see, in Israel, did they not reverence their fathers of the faith? I mean, that was their, they said that was, even in Jesus' day, well, we have Abraham as our father. We have Moses as our father. And Jesus would say, what? He said, well, Abraham believed in my day and was glad in it. Abraham knew who I was and rejoiced in it. If you had Abraham as your father, then you would believe in me. For I am. So when Jesus was in the garden getting ready to be taken, right? And they said, are you Jesus? I am. And when he spoke it, what happened? Did he get a sign? Did they get a sign? They all fell back by the power of the name of God. Folks, you have been given the same power by faith in Jesus Christ. Has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. It's time, folks. It's time for us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. John 4, right? Go to John 4. I would tell you that we'll close with this one, but we may not. He's talking to the woman at the well, correct? And she's what? What is she? Is she a Samaritan? And were the Samaritans evil? Who thought they were, the Samaritans were evil?
The Jews did.
But were they? Were they not the creation of the Father? How many are in the teaching that we listened to with Brian? How was the Gentile formed?
In Jesus, in the beginning of creation.
How? When did Brian brought it to your attention?
The beast.
Man, he used the example of Peter seeing the sheet come down out of heaven, right? And he's talking to James Croom. And he said, James, what was in that sheet? And it was the beast. What? Unclean, right? And God said, hey, this is why we got to have God as the interpreter. Because Peter called it unclean. God said, don't you call unclean what I have made clean. How many heard that?
It's the difference between eating from different trees.
Yes. And it's the difference between interpreting from your own mind and not from God's mind. Good and evil, right? Good and evil. There is a way to tell when it's coming from the mind of the flesh versus the mind of God. And God's teaching it to you. And in it, patience must be worked. Did Satan know the scripture? When he tempted Jesus in the garden, what did he use to tempt the Lord?
Scripture.
Huh? The word of God. Pretty hard to trick the word of God with the word of God, though, isn't it? So what do we need to become? We need to become the word of God. So he's talking to the Samaritan woman. Verse 19. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Because he told her about herself, right? Told her about her life. And she didn't even know the guy in the flesh. She didn't know who he was. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes. What did he tell her?
Believe
me. See, when we walk in the door, or when I'm conversing with the Father, if I'm in the Word of God reading the Bible, or if I'm in my prayer, what does God require? That we believe. Now we believe He is. And we can call Him by name. Believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is. That's what he wants you to hear right now. You are right now in the hour that cometh. And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Colon, right? There's a colon after that. Because now he's going to finish what he means here. For the Father seeks such to worship him. If you believe that he is, and you are following the word of God, then the Spirit of God, this is the eyes of the Lord, the seven spirits of God, which are the eyes of the Lord, they circumnavigate your world night and day, looking for an opening into the heart that believes. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. Am I right about that, Connie? 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. Listen to this. For the eyes of the Lord, the seven spirits of God, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, what would be a perfect heart?
Believing heart.
Okay. One that's diligently seeking him, right? Herein, you have done foolishly. Why? What have we done foolishly? we haven't diligently sought him. Therefore, henceforth, you shall have what? Wars. What's the war?
Mind.
It's in the mind. We give Satan power. If we diligently seek God, the war's over. God's in control. I have free will. Does anybody not understand what it means to possess free will? God gave it to you. So that you in your heart are free to choose your God, whether he be good or whether he be evil. How about that? And God help us if we choose the God of evil. The God of good, he will teach you how to understand evil so that you will not be oppressed and enslaved by it. How about that? That's a better God. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I got to read the next two verses. And the woman said unto him, now, Jesus is hitting a chord in this woman, right? I'm hoping I'm hitting a chord with you all tonight. I pray that. I know that the Messiah comes, which is called Christ, the anointed one. When he has come, he will tell us all things. See, she had this expectation. Does she know the word of God?
She did.
She had an expectation that when the Messiah came, he would tell them everything. And Jesus said unto her, now listen to this. I that speak unto thee am he. I am. Folks, that's your destiny. That's your eternal life. You've been chosen for it. You didn't choose God. God chose you and ordained you. John chapter 11. Many are called. What does it say after that?
Few
are chosen. Why is that? Because few will come to the place that you are in tonight, where you give yourself holy and reverent before God, yielding yourself to him to obey. You are counted amongst them. Happy are we. Let us rejoice in the word of the Lord, shall we? Any comments or questions or thoughts about those things tonight? Nothing?
One time,
go ahead.
Brad spoke on this on a Thursday night, and he brought out what was perceived, it could be perceived as a minor point. But this woman was so on fire, her mind, you know, in what Jesus was saying.
Is Jesus a burning one?
Yeah.
Is the angel that Moses saw in the bush, is that Jesus' angel?
Yes.
So when she began to have a conversation with the Word of God, did it light her on fire?
It did. And he said that in different words. And then he pointed out verse 28, which I read 1,000 times. Then the woman left her water pot. Wait a minute. She heard this boom, water pot's down. I'm done. I'm out. I'm going to get people. They're coming back.
Oh, like Peter, James, and John when they saw the Lord?
Just dropped.
And Jesus called
dropped
them.
Her life.
Right? What'd they do with their nets?
They just
dropped them.
They dropped their nets and did what?
Followed Jesus.
Followed the Lord.
And that really hit me. She just, I'm done. I got a new life. I gotta go this morning.
Ran back into the city to tell everybody about Jesus.
Yep.
And what did the city do?
They followed her.
They all came out to hear the word of the Lord.
It's amazing.
Sent of God into the world. You speak the name of Jesus, and what's the world going to do? They're going to follow you to be saved. Folks, God's got it. You're becoming it. And don't let that liar, that thieving liar, convince you that it's not true. Because he will do. You give him a moment, and he will try to do it. Guaranteed.
Rick was saying, be that word.
Be the gift.
Be the gift.
Be the gift. You are the gift. So be it. Any comments? Any more questions?
I've got one.
Yeah.
Something that kind of came to me. I just want to see if it's a correct thought. When you're talking about the vision that Peter had with the sheep, all the beasts, was he still warring in his mind like what we do? Is that the parable that he's going through?
Peter received that vision, right?
Right.
Did he leave the vision or did he stay in it?
He stayed in it.
Yeah, all the way to Cornelius' house.
Right.
And on the way to Cornelius' house, what he saw as beasts in the four corners of the sheet, as God walked him through the understanding or the interpretation of it, what did they become?
Yeah.
They became men. Did he see them transformed by the word of God?
Yes.
So when he went into Cornelius's house, what did he know in his heart and in his mind?
That God is no respecter of
persons. That God is no respecter of persons. What God has made clean is clean indeed. And I cannot call it unclean if God cleaned it. As much, listen, in the flesh, folks, we see the ugliness of people all day long. And we judge them for it, right? What does God say not to do? Yeah, do not judge after the flesh. Do not do it. We're surrounded by it all day long, every day. That's not our judgment. Our judgment is true. Our judgment is after the word of God. And what God said is clean. It's clean. So if God perceives them as clean, are they clean?
Yes.
Whether I see them as not being clean or not, I better come into the same eyes of God and keep my mouth shut. That's what needs to happen. Just saying.